If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. We'll be doing many live events this summer around the country, which will include artist interviews, contests, and more. Sign up for our newsletter at OSIRISpod.com to stay in the loop. Relix Magazine is a media partner of OSIRIS. For more, visit relix.com. The show starts now. You've been listening to Black Sheep from Nolatet, a jazz quartet from New Orleans that features vibraphonist Mike Dillon, pianist Mike Haas, bassist James Singleton, and drummer Johnny Vidakovich. Black Sheep is actually taken from their sophomore release, No Revenge Necessary, but these musicians are hardly just getting around to making a second record. Each have individual resumes that are significant, and the blending of rhythms and sounds is quite evident. I've always wanted to chat with Johnny Vidakovich, the accomplished Big Easy drummer who has toiled on the scene for over 40 years. He's about as New Orleans as banyas, crawfish, and Mardi Gras. With the world-famous jazz festival well underway, we caught up with Johnny to talk about his drumming, Nolatet, and as you'll soon hear, much more. The conversation twists and turns, but started when I told Johnny how much I enjoyed the record We Came to Play that he put out with George Porter Jr. and Jun Yamagishi some 15 years ago.
Man, that's a great thing to say. I like hearing that because, you know, that record was recorded live, and it was a lot of first-time things in the post, in post production or after we recorded it. There were a lot of things new that the guys working on it, were trying. So it's good that. To hear people say that they like it, you know.
I can't believe it's been 15 years since that record came out. I mean, time flies when you're having fun.
Man, I didn't even realize it was that many years till you said it.
I guess you get behind the kit and you just play, right? I mean, that's how Johnny V does his thing, right?
Just digest the music, man, and, you know, try to keep myself as open as possible to everybody around me and try to be like, a receptor for what's going on around me. So, you know, I can make that go through the drums and try to turn it into, to part of the music, that's the whole, I think, important thing to do to music, period. Not in with a band like it, say, if you want to talk about Nolatet, you say with a band like that, what they do is they really, trust me a whole lot. So they give me free reign. Band like the Astral Project, also a band, Astral Project.
Yeah, yeah.
They know me well, with those guys, not only do they know me well and trust me, we have spent over 40 years together, knowing, growing, falling, getting good, getting bad. We've seen guys and different individuals in the band during 40 years go through periods in their life, where life-changing events and shit. So that there is like some deep science, to collective when it comes to playing in a band. There's the science of the collective way you play becomes a thing, an entity of its own that's very bigger and different and stronger than any one individual in that collective project, whether it be Nolatet, whether it be Astral Project, whether it be you and me making a jam session at 5 o'clock today. the object would be for me to be, jumping back to the beginning of your subject. Yeah. What I do is I try to be a receptor, I try to be a vehicle for the music to go through and do my job as what drummer slash musician is supposed to do in a band, you know, your obligation. You're just like playing on a baseball team. You know, I say, hey, man, just do your job, you know. You know, you're a cornerback, you know, do your job. If everybody does their job, the play's going to work. And it's true. The same thing in a band, you know, I feel that way. That's the way I feel about the, you know, my job.
Does working and being alongside James Singleton in a rhythm section for so long help you do your job better? Are you able to anticipate what he's up to? Do you think he's able to anticipate what you're up to based on that strength?
Yes to all of those questions. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's like if you and I decide to go out there and cut the grass, you know, if we both, you know, mean it, then when we get out there, we're going to do it, you know, whether you do the edge and I'm cutting, you're doing the sides, I'm doing the front, you do, you know, just getting you everything, you know, it goes back to the same subject of the collective process, I think, is all the thing that I'm looking for. And that question that you just asked me there, you know, that, man, that's to the thing that I've learned and keep learning, getting to be older fella.
Does the learning ever stop for you? I mean, you've been at this
long. It seems like it's increasing. It seems like the last, since I got to be around, you know, around, I don't know, 66, 67, 60, right up in those years, 68, I knew it was increasing.
What specifically? What's changed?
My ability to perceive the moment clearer. I feel as though my receptors are sharper. I can pick up on a read a guy's body language, smelling. I can tell by, I don't know, man, sometimes. And sometimes I don't think about it at all, and all of a sudden we're hitting the same shit in unison. And that means that I'm just following our breath, you know, and I'm not thinking about that blows my mind. You know, when we have these, all of a sudden have pregnant pauses together where we both stop playing at the same exact time, or, you know, other times where we hit a lick and hit a lick and hit a lick and hit a lick, you know, and everybody thinks that we planned it or something. No, man, we just sort of, I think that when I'm playing and I close my eyes, it's a vast, you know, a big universe with shiny things around, and there's these streaming little silver white things that are flying through. And if you jump on one of them, you ride it, and you don't have to think about music at all or what you're playing or nothing like that, and you ride it out, and it's magic, you know, and the music sounds great. Then it ends, and then so you jump back to the other process of making music where you're, literally listening to what's going on around you, and sometimes even making a split second, a minuscule of a split second decision on what to play or what not to play, you know. And there's other times where I'm looking at the girl and the beautiful girl in the third row, or thinking about eating a cheeseburger as soon as I get the hell out of this concert, or thinking about how much money I'm not making, you know. So I mean, and then there's other times where you're riding these silver magic lines, man. So it's a duality in the process of improvising, you know, and a duality is those two things. Sometimes it's magic, sometimes I'm cleverly, as a painter would do, I'm cleverly taking the tools that I have, and since I've been playing drums for music for so long, I know how to put little things together that work and will sound good.
Is that the secret to improvised music, kind of letting go?
If there's a secret, I just let it out. But that's the process I use. You know, I surrender myself. I let my, yes, let it go. I surrender myself to the music. So I try to stay focused on what the guys are doing around me, and that's the music of the moment. And I try to, as if when you pray, you know, I try to make that I try to not anything else, you know, interfere with me, like ego, like the audience, like the guy who's standing 4 feet away, or you know, like, you know, I try to not let anything interfere with my ability to make sure that I'm listening to what, then picking up on everything that the guys are doing around me, so I can properly play my part to make that sound good. It might be the same thing we played last night, but it's going to be different tonight. You know, I can't take it for granted. I have to listen every night, you know, and so my process for making the music continuous without interruption, my process is constantly oscillating from those two processes. One process is where you ride the magic out there and you don't know and you don't care, and then it kind of goes away. Then you quickly vacillate to the other process of where I'm cleverly painting things onto the picture, the music, you know, as it passes by, because I know this works, and I hear what he's playing over there. I know how to deal with that shit, you know. and then I'm thinking about that beautiful chick in the third row on to the left with the blonde hair, you know, and I'm riding the magic. That's right, bro. You know, and I'm constantly going back and forth, constantly, and you have to do it smoothly, like an automatic transmission, you know, like a quick shift installed into a Chevy transmission, man, where, you know, you floor and it goes up to 9,000 RPMs and it gets to second gear, and when it switches to second gear, it hardly drops at all, man. The needle on the tachometer looks like it stays at 9,000 RPMs, man, and as it's just, you know, you don't see any drop in the RPM as you would with a clutch, you know.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah, amazing, amazing.
You understand?
I get it.
It's machinery. It's science, you know. It's not so mystical and magical. It's numbers, science, and it's, you know, beautiful.
It's not feel at all?
It's not. Oh, yes, it's feel, and feel is science. Feel is mathematics. I have to react, or I have to trust in my subconscious to react properly to what's being felt around me. That's one of the things that I have to be aware of.
Right.
Feel is a real thing. Feel ain't nothing, you know, undescribable. I can describe it. I'm fucking playing drums every night with these bastards. I know when they're feeling one way and feeling another. I know when this motherfucker either ate too many goddamn donuts before the set, or I can tell when this motherfucker the bass player had a fight with his old lady in the parking lot 5 minutes before the gig. I can tell by the way he's playing.
Right, right.
And I can tell by the way the piano player's rushing, playing way on top of the beat, that he done fucking ate too many goddamn donuts, and he's fucking, you know, pushing the tempo, and the bass player's dragging because he's fucking had an argument with his old lady. I can tell all of that shit just, you know, by the first fucking 16th, by the time we get to the bridge of the first tune.
When you go in to record something into a studio, do you bring that same, I mean, it's a much more kind of controlled environment when you're sitting down to record No Revenge Necessary, and you know the tunes that you're going to play, and it's a much more controlled environment. Can you still bring that same sort of feeling to the playing?
Yeah, the feeling is accessible. The feeling is a real thing. The feeling and I are very much friends.
It doesn't change, right?
Well, it changes, but thank God it changes. It's because it's living, it's real, it's changing. The the feeling is constantly changing. Just like the process. So we have to be able to adjust to the feeling in order to make something complete, in order to make something continue. We have to be able to smoothly switch gears, switch processes in order to keep the thing moving forward. So you learn to access feel when it's time to access feel, whether it be in the studio or whether it be in 35 people in a small room with people's tables right, within hands, arm's reach of, you know, I've often put my drink on someone's table, you know, say, hi, thanks, how y'all doing tonight, you know, and you know, turn my head and be playing the gig. You know, I mean, feeling is a real thing. There's nothing mystical and spiritual and fancy about it. You just learn in your years and your experiences and your gigs after year after, and your colleagues, you know, this guy's personality and this guy's personality. You learn and learn and learn and learn, and then you realize that feeling is your friend, and you constantly change with him too, or her too, or it too.
You've been amongst the backbone of the Crescent City music scene for 4 decades. What's changed? What in 2018 is different than it was when you first started out in New Orleans playing tunes?
Well, you know, it's definitely all changed. You know, not changed. It's still. What's changed in 40? Wow, everything's changed in 40 years, you know? I mean, just, everything's grown, you know, change. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it just changed, you know, along with...
Are things better? Is the scene better?
The scene is, I think it's, you know, a little bit more... kind of clustered and chaotic. You know, there's a lot of influx right now. There's a lot of people coming here, you know, because it's sort of like a cool place to hang, and it's getting a reputation for that, you know. It's still, what hasn't changed is, you know, the kind of the popularity and kind of love for the traditional music, you know. So what's changed is the fact that it hasn't lost its roots and its use of its roots, even though it is changing. And, you know, and sometimes with change, you know, we have fear that we might lose the quality of what we've accomplished at this point. But I think that still using these points and changing, but you can still relate to the points, you know, even in the new stuff around here, there's some homage, you might say, or there's some acknowledgement to the past, the 40 something years you're talking about, you know. So I think what's changing is the fact, and by not changing and just blowing off the past, that changing factor. Because it's definitely, you know, electronics are happening here, you know, it's like world of electronic music here, and a world of techno music here, and there's a world of heavy metal here, and there's a world of reggae here, and there's a world of Latin music here, and there's a world of traditional music here, and there's a world of fucking bebop here. and there's a world of funk here, and there's a world of R&B here, you know. There's a lot of, you know, those elements seem to be, you know, maintained, acknowledged, saluted, even in today's changing New Orleans. So that's what, that's to answer your question, how what's changed around here in 40 years? Well, what's changed is the fact that everything's changing, and still in all, we got a feel for the old.
Right, right.
You know, because we know the old is good. It's a proven fact now. We've proved it.
Right.
Because everybody in the fucking world knows now. Thank you, internet. Thank you, whatever. Thank you, technology. Thank you, changing world. Everybody knows that our old fucking music, 45, 50, 55, 65 years ago, all of those years ago, everybody knows now that the music coming out of New Orleans was, I'll use a word that I'm using is the real deal, the real McCoy, the so-called magic.
When you play and record with younger cats like Mike Dillon and Brian Haas, do they get that? Do they get that? The lineage of the music and the people that they're playing with and understand? Do you think that they understand just exactly what's going on when they sit down with James Singleton and Johnny Vidovich to play music?
I think so.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They know that they get it enough to be, you know, not swayed by it. In doing that job when we get on the bandstand, you see, you know, it's not going to sway them. They know better. They're professional. They know to get on the bandstand and do their fucking job, you know?
Right.
You know, so they're not swayed by the fact that, you know, that, you know, they have to decipher that James and I have this, you know, time and years of playing the music around here, you know, daily, double dailies, you know, forever, you know, 30 something years before we even met them, you know.
You have a busy, I mean, you always have a busy schedule, but with...
Yes, I do.
But with Jazz Fest coming up, I mean, things go into overdrive, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I got about 20 something gigs. I don't know, 20 gigs.
And you just feel it, right? I mean, you just sit down, and it doesn't matter who you're playing with or when you're playing. You're ready to go.
Uh huh. Yep. I got some great gigs at the Maple Leaf, you know. So that'll be comfortable, you know, and get up there and kick off, you know, and it'd be interesting because I'll be playing with some guys like from out of town, you know, who don't come around, but I know, and then we'll be playing, you know, intimately and beautiful, like at the Maple Leaf. One of the first gigs is like with me and George Porter and Vernon Reed, the dude from Living Color, you know.
Yeah.
It's shit like that, you know. So it's gonna be, and then Medeski will be around, and I get to play with him and Chris Wood, you know,
and Skerrick.
Skerrick too, on the other side of town at DBA, and then that in the middle of town, they got this place, the Howling Wolf, I think, yeah, and they have an event called Bayou Rendezvous, and I get to play with my man, Stanton Moore.
Right.
My little brother, you know, and he was my student when he was in high school and college, and now we're friends, and me and him and George Porter and Ivan Neville, so, you know, and then little pet gigs, you know, Astral Project gigs, it'd be cool, very cool, you know.
Hey, man, thanks for taking the time and setting us straight on the music and the magic.
Yeah. Anytime.
And
at your service, pronto.
And continue doing what you do, man, because I can't think of anybody better to do what you do. So
okay.
Keep it up, man. Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks for your time, and thank you for your interest, and bless you, and peace and love.
Well, deciphering that conversation is certainly what makes listening to the Sound Podcast so interesting. Got to give it up, though, to Johnny Vidakovic for continuing to make, play, and record music. He's an absolute drumming and New Orleans legend, and we're grateful he came on the show. For more info about Nola Tet and No Revenge Necessary, please visit nolatet.com. And for more on Mr. Vidakovic's universe, visit facebook.com/New Orleans Drummer. Before we leave you, have a listen to another cut from No Revenge Necessary. Here is Blue Belly.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.
Osiris.